Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
All right, welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club, 8:06 on this Saturday morning. My name is Hardy. Pleasure to be here on the show today. One of our old friends from the Sports Hub Golf Club, a gentleman who used to work at, let me see if I get this right, Golf Town in Watertown, and what used to be on the show a lot in terms of, you know, like equipment reviews and just, you know, gadgets and products and all that stuff. And then became Golf Smith, and then he joined the Travis Matthew family. His name is Steve Show. He is going to be on with us here this morning. Steve and I have been friends for a long time now, but one of the things I enjoy talking with Steve about, not only the golf stuff, but his, I guess he's got kind of like a commitment to local, you know, retailing and local buying, probably due to his background and history in it. And so normally, you know, in the last couple of years, Steve would come on and we just talk about all the cool Travis Matthew gear, hats, polos, and we'll talk about that stuff too. But he's got this whole thing about like supporting local business right now, which it just goes to show where his heart is. He's a great guy. What? That's right. Here's the thing with Steve. His name looks like Show, and I think it's pronounced Show. And I always get it wrong. I've known the man for, I don't know, a long time. It's probably Shao. Anyway, I'll ask him again when he joins us here coming up around 8:30 this morning here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. But we begin with the return of golf, the Charles Schwab Challenge taking place in Fort Worth, in addition to NASCAR. And a couple other, you know, events here and there, fights and whatnot. This is one of the first sports to return. So the Charles Schwab Challenge started on Thursday at Colonial in Fort Worth. And, you know, all eyes were on it for a number of reasons. Number one, it's a chance to watch some live sports. So even people who don't watch golf may be taking a peek at this thing. All right. And to that end, I say it's the same model for soccer. Soccer, we know, is going to be returning here coming up in early July with the MLS return to play tournament that they're going to be hosting in Orlando. And later on in the show, Sports Hub Golf Club wrap up show, Opry Sports Hub Golf Club, Mimosas. We'll talk a little bit more about this. I don't know that you're going to get tons and tons of new fans to either soccer or golf because they're among the first back, but it can't hurt. And if you get literally just a few extra sets of eyeballs in every market watching this thing and checking it out and saying, well, oh, this is actually pretty good. And for golf purposes, the coverage has been excellent. This is not what we saw from the TaylorMade driving relief Ricky Fowler, Matt Wolf, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, you know, like roaming cameras, shots weren't all that good, crappy audio, you know, not any graphics, you know, real skeleton crew. This has had, from my viewing of it, the look and feel of any major golf broadcast. And I don't mean major championship. I just mean on the network. And we've only had a chance to watch it on the Golf Channel so far. But their coverage is always good. It's the Golf Channel. It should be. So, yeah, they're doing a good job. We'll get network coverage today and tomorrow. And watching it, my first takeaway from watching it is this isn't all that different. And part of it has to do with the fact that it is not a major championship. It's the Charles Schwab Challenge. And watching this on a Thursday, if you're a chronic like I am and you're watching golf early rounds of random tournaments, the way it looks on camera does not look all that different from tournaments where there are spectators there. I mean, here's the best example. We'll go back to Thursday and the hole-in-one from Sung Kang, who is a South Korean player, and in the first round of the Charles Schwab Challenge, he aces the par 3 13th, 162 yards, okay? The next morning on the network news, as they're doing the story of, sports returning in the coronavirus pandemic, and things are going to be quite different. Here we see Sung Kang from South Korea, butchering the terminology, whatever, you know, clubbing a hole in ace, ace in one, and look, no one's there to cheer him. And I'm watching at home, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Number one, it's the Charles Schwab Challenge. No offense, but it's not a major championship. Number two, it's a Thursday. And number three, it's Sung Kang. Do you know how many people, if they allowed spectators out onto the course, do you know how many people would have been there to witness Sung Kang's hole-in-one in the first round of the Charles Schwab Challenge? I mean, if you watch golf and follow golf, this happens. Not all the time, because holes-in-one don't happen all the time, but Thursday rounds of fringe players hitting incredible shots, yeah, it's like a tree falling in the woods pretty much any week on tour outside of the majors, anywhere in the world. It happens. So to me, it hasn't been all that different. It's not that big a deal. I know it's different from football, and it's certainly different from basketball and hockey and baseball, but it leads me to believe, like, the no spectator thing, I'm going to be okay with it, just what I've seen so far. And the coverage has been good, and the golf has been excellent. So let's talk about that. And we'll start with our leaderboard here for the Charles Schwab Challenge, with Harold Varner III, who has sole possession of the lead through two rounds. He fires the opening round 63. He ties the low round of the day alongside Justin Rose, and then follows that up with a 66 in round two. Lots more on Harold Varner coming up here in a couple of minutes. In a tie for second right now, Jordan Spieth and Bryson DeChambeau. Now, you may say one of these names is not like the other if you're not familiar with Harold Varner III, but I'm going to make it my mission for at least a few minutes here this morning to make you familiar with him, because this guy is somebody you should be cheering for. But that's a pretty impressive top three right there. Between Spieth and DeChambeau, these are guys that people know, and these are people that, if you're just tuning in, you would recognize. Now, you only have to go one stroke behind those guys in a tie for fourth right now. You get some other pretty impressive names in Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy. Colin Morikawa is also in that group at 9 under par. Followed by Justin Rose, Brendan Grace, Justin Thomas, Gary Woodland, Daniel Berger. They are all at 8 under par. And then you get the guys who are, they're by no means out of it, 4 or 5 strokes off the lead. But, keep it there to the guys who are within 3 right now And then today is moving day. So we're going to see a lot of guys moving up and down the leaderboard as you do most weeks out there on tour. Some notable names who have missed the cut, Matt Kuchar. Well, a lot of people have had their feelings changed about Matt Kuchar due to the payment of the caddy incident in Mexico. Kuchar missed the cut. And this speaks to the golf course here, too. Kuchar, he didn't have a good round. He was one over. But he went out there and shot 200 in the second round, 71-68. A lot of courses, a lot of weeks. Those numbers might certainly give you a spot on the weekend, but not good enough at Colonial. The cut was minus two. So Kuchar is out after going one under par for his round. It's par 70 there at Colonial. Sergio Garcia, I don't know what's going on with Sergio these days. He won his one major. He's fine. He's still out there. He's not terrible, but it seems as though, Sergio, as I put out there when he first won that major, he could be that one guy who's going to win one and like say, whew, all right, did it. Don't have to do all that much anymore. Still playing, not terrible, but not good enough to make the cut. Graham McDowell, Tom Lehman, Phil Mickelson missing the cut. Phil Mickelson looked like he had things dialed in early in the first round on Thursday, but went out and shot one over par and really was not all that impressive in his first round altogether. He had a decent start, and I believe he started on 10 on Thursday, and he made three birdies in his first nine holes. But he also made three bogeys on the back, and then in the second round just really couldn't get anything going. Couple of birdies, but he had a double and a bogey, and that was it. So Phil Mickelson's weekend ended early with that trunk slammer he shot on Friday. Danny Lee missed the cut. Danny Lee, also a great guy to root for on tour, I would say, right along with the leader right now, Harold Varner III. Ricky Fowler missing the cut. Webb Simpson, Dustin Johnson. These are big names that I'm sure the networks were hoping were going to be around over the weekend, but they will not be there. All right, I want to get back to Harold Varner III. Got some audio from him post-round yesterday. I want to talk a little bit about him and my experience in meeting him a couple of times over the years down at TPC Boston. So we'll do that as we continue here on the Sports Hub Golf Club coming up next.
Consider us your radio caddy, the Sports Hub Golf Club on 88.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. I don't know what it is about this guy. I do know what it is. You know what? Strike that. Tucker, restart everything, all right? I want to restart this whole segment, all right? Can you re-rack the music? Because I screwed it all up.
All
just
right.
Give me some new music, all right? Here we go. Go ahead, Tucker. Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. I know exactly what it is about Harold Varner III that I like. See what I did there? Changed up the whole narrative. Harold Varner III is leading the Charles Schwab Challenge right now. He's alone atop the leaderboard at 11 under par. Harold Varner III is one of four. I don't want to say there are like four African-American golfers on tour, because A, it makes it sound like I've counted them, and B, I don't even think that's accurate. I think there are like four players with some kind of African-American descent, you know, but, you know, I saw it in an article today. He's one of four black players on tour, something like that, whatever. It doesn't even matter, except for the fact that with everything going on right now, I do find it notable that there is, out of the, you know, hundreds of players that may have a chance week in and week out, and I say all the guys who are quote unquote on tour, the sponsor exemptions, the guys who play their way in a Monday qualifier, that after two rounds, there is a black player who is alone atop the leaderboard. And I think it's notable. I truly do. With all that's going on right now. But that really is secondary to the type of guy that Harold Varner is. Now, if you don't follow golf and you don't know who he is, you immediately think, ugh, Harold Varner III. sounds like one of these Silver Spoon country club kids. You know, you immediately want to boom in your mouth a little bit. Just that he is the furthest thing from that. Now, I met Harold Varner a few years ago at the, it may have even been when it was still the Deutsche Bank. It was probably the Dell Technologies Championship. Got a chance to talk to him, and he is one of the most easygoing guys I've ever spoken to. Now, this is, and he is now 30 years old. So I met him, he was in his late 20s. He'll turn 30 years old this year. So it's not like he just burst onto the tour and he's making his way. No, he's already been out there for a while. Harold Varner, I learned from talking to him, is a guy who ended up playing a lot of Muni golf. He's one of these guys who came up, I think, like a lot of us do, playing the game at public courses, using a public facility. He was born in Akron, but raised primarily in North Carolina. And it was there where he told me, it's like, yeah, they had this program at the public course, and he'd get dropped off there and he'd just spend the day like hitting balls. It was, it was a place to go and something to do. And it was cheap and it was something that he liked. And that was that. That's how I got into it. So he turned pro 8 years ago, 2012. He had played a little bit on the web.com tour, qualified for the U.S. Open in 2013, missed the cut. They started playing a little bit better a couple years later, 2015, some top 25s. In December of 2016, his first win came at the Australian PGA Championship, of all places. And he's had some, he's been very close. He was second going into the final round at the PGA at Bethpage Black just last year. Brooks Koepka, though, obviously, on his mission from God to win a bunch of U.S. Opens in a row and all these other majors, he couldn't be stopped. But he is one of these guys who is waiting for his first, quote-unquote, real win. You know, the Australian PGA Championship, that's a big deal. He's waiting for his big breakthrough win here in the States. Has not done great other than, in the U.S. Open, he's had chances. He's been close. He's been here. He's been there. But it just hasn't been his time yet. I would like to think that this weekend is his time. But the thing that I really like about Harold Varner is that he is so easygoing, and he has answers to questions. And in my conversations with him, just seems to be anything but the prototype or the archetype of the modern day PGA professional. Here's an example. Last year, or 2 years ago, I should say, because last year it was not played here in Boston at TPC. It was 2 years ago. I did a sponsor event and, kind of hosted like this panel discussion with Harold Varner III, because I had met him the year before. And he's one of these guys who is quick to say yes when he's asked by the tour to go, do these things. Patrick Reed and Henrik Stenson, all right? And, the guests come in. We're in one of the Skybox chalets, and these guys are sitting there. I'm kind of moderating the discussion and asking these guys questions and passing the mic around. Henrik Stenson, who has got a very dry, fun sense of humor, and Harold Varner and Patrick Reed. So Stenson is a guy who's obviously kind of loosened up. I mean, he's well established on tour and people know who he is. And he's, he's in his 40s and he's kind of loose. Then you have Patrick Reed, who I'm trying to ask Patrick Reed questions to try and draw him out a little bit, try and engage him a little bit. Like, Patrick, what do you think of these guys who are all kind of rooting for each other these days, whether it's you know, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, who seem to have this real camaraderie. And all these guys, it's this, you know, their little, you know, group of bros who are all rooting for each other and seem to be, you know, just as happy when one of their buddies wins as opposed to them. That doesn't seem like your style. And Patrick Reed gave me what I believe to be one of the most jive-ass answers I've ever heard in my career. It's like, no, I'm with it. I am happy to see other people win, and I believe it is for the betterment. It's like, oh, Jesus, really? Patrick Reed? If there's anybody who's out there as a lone wolf in more than one sense of the word, it's Patrick Reed. And then you got Harold Varner. I'm like, Harold, what do you think about all these guys? You know, congratulating each other and slaps on the back and stuff. He's like, no, man, I want to win myself. He went on and on about, you know, how, like, there's good guys on tour and how he's friends with everybody. But when it comes to winning, he has what I believe to be the proper attitude. Screw everybody else. This is a sport of individual achievement. I'm going out there to win for me. But he's so laid back about it, he doesn't come off as a prick. It's just the way he is. And he is really one of the friendliest guys out there. He said this coronavirus thing has been tough on him specifically because he's a hugger. He bring it in, man. And he's just a warm guy, a friendly guy. I remember I was driving out of the parking lot after the event that day. And you know how it is when you're driving a relatively new car and you're hoping people notice that you're driving a new car. And it was driving a Durango that I hadn't had for all that long. But, you know, I had gotten it just the way I wanted it. It was the white knuckle white with the black rims and everything. And I drove by and I rolled down my window. I'm like, hey, Harold, thanks again. That was really fun. And he said to me, ooh, nice whip. I said, oh, that just made my day. Thank you. He's just one of those guys who knows how to talk to people. And everybody seems to like him. And people are going to love him, especially if he's able to pull off a victory this weekend. That wasn't easy for him, as he will explain here, because, and Tucker, I think we have the audio. After having a share of the lead after the first round, he goes out and he's teeing off on 10 yesterday, and he cards a triple bogey to start his second round. Here he is talking about it.
Yeah, just still hitting it really well and putting it really well. So, you know, those things go hand in hand. Obviously not the start I wanted, but it's just a part of golf. You know, if I would have tripled the last, you know, it would have added up to the same. So it's a great opportunity going in the weekend.
And you mentioned that triple bogey at one. How were you able to bounce back so quickly from that start?
Just give myself so many looks. I mean, I triple the hole 10, and then on 12 I have like a 3-footer for birdie. So, you know, you're starting to just get a lot of momentum. You know, even after a triple, you just can't live in the past. It's just not a great place to be, and it's hard to learn from there.
And lastly, after 36 holes, is this week starting to feel somewhat normal after the long layoff?
No. I wish there were some fans tomorrow. I like that a lot. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to being around the guys, it's very normal. But when it comes to fans and spectators, not normal at all.
So he set a record that I'm sure he's happy with now, but it could have been bad. The fact that he carded the lowest round in PGA Tour's history that started with a triple bogey or worse. Nobody, up until yesterday had managed to go out and shoot a 66 after carding a triple bogey on the first hole. And it was weird. His drive found the right rough, trickled onto the cart path, and then rolled up onto a bridge that was crossing over a hazard or a creek there. It was messed up, but he rebounded nicely. And on his way in, listen to these numbers that he carded on the way in. Because he went out in 36. His coming home on the nine holes, and again, he played holes 1 through 9 second yesterday. But starting on number 4, here are the numbers that he posted. 2-3-3-3-3-3. Birdie, 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 par, birdie. That's the way you finish a round. That's the way you finish after you start with a triple, and you want to somehow maintain that lead that you had after the first round, after the second round going into Saturday. So Harold Varner III, if you can't tell, is a guy I'm rooting for this weekend. I would love to see him win it all. Let's step aside here when we come back. My buddy Steve from Travis Matthews, Steve Schau. Spelled like show, rhymes with plow. I believe I have the phrase in my head correct after all these years. He will join us next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
This is the show that helps you put it in the hole. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. The last name, see if I can get this right. It's spelled like show, but it rhymes with plow. It's Steve Schau from Travis Matthews. Did I get it right?
Yeah, you finally got it right.
Did you hear me at the beginning of the show get it wrong?
Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah. Well, how long have we known each other?
Probably about 6 years now.
Do you even know what my real last name is, though?
Oh, yeah. It's Poole with an E.
Damn it. Okay. Damn it. All right. Steve Schau, Travis Matthew. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good, man. Good. It's, it's been a year. What can we say?
Well, first things first, you and the family, everybody well? Everybody doing okay?
Yeah. Things are good. Daughter graduated high school this year, so she's kind of bummed out about this whole procedure. But outside of that, wife is working hard. I'm working as hard as I can, and my yard looks great.
Yeah, well, I think that echoes what a lot of people are going through right now. And Travis Matthew, I know that you guys have really, really done a great job in, you know, getting, you know, gear out there, and people, you know, are loving the stuff. But it's been tough to get lately, but now it's gotten a little bit better. And today, when you and I were talking about, you know, doing the show together, you said specifically, hey, can we talk about supporting these local businesses, not just about Travis Matthew today, which I thought was a really selfless thing you wanted to talk about. And it's important because a lot of golf shops are open, but they're doing things a little bit differently.
Yeah, I was down in Pine Hills earlier this week and walking into the shop. Yeah, they have all their gear, but it's a really strange shopping environment with you know, the plexiglass up all around. But, you know, these are great partners for us. These are small business owners. Then they're struggling this year. They've lost a lot of corporate outing business. They lost a lot of charitable outing business. And I know that's stuff that they're very proud of to associate with. And they just don't have that business this year.
Yeah. So it has been different. I know some of the retailers have, you know, were doing curbside pickup, and, you know, those restrictions are starting to loosen up a little bit in certain areas. But for the most part, you can still buy locally. And you know, Travis Matthew has a great website, and it wasn't all that long ago when you guys started doing like, you know, some of the different apparel. I went online. I've never done this in my life. I bought jeans online because Travis Matthew, you know, had these jeans and I had seen them. I'm like, those are really cool. So, you know, I get the mailer and I go online and I knew what size I was based on another pair of pants I already had. So I felt a little bit better about it. But if I were to do that now, I think I'd take you up on your advice and go find someplace locally that's actually selling them so I can support a local business.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Like I said, this is going to be a hard year for a lot of these folks. And there's some great men and women that make their living through golf in New England. And we're already seeing some encouraging signs from New Hampshire that people are willing to spend money on golf this year, which is great. So when you do, make sure you do it locally.
All right. So have you been able to get product into stores? Because I did see at, again, to use the example from a couple of weeks ago, Golfers Warehouse had a lot of Travis Matthews stuff in there. But I know some of the local pro shops haven't been able to get, you know, their stock in yet. Is that on the supply side? Is that on their side where they didn't have the money for the purchase up front? What's going on?
That's actually, it works both ways. We were shut down for 60 days based out of California, you know, under pretty heavy restrictions. So we couldn't ship product for a while. And quite frankly, there were shops in the area. If they weren't open for golf or retail, they didn't really want to have the product and have bills come due and that kind of a thing. But things are really starting to open up now. And like I said, the early signs are extremely encouraging. products shipping now. We're full bore right now.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the product, because people know the Travis Matthew hats by now. And by the way, people ask me all the time. They'll see me either wearing one on our simulcast or just out and about. And you guys have a very distinct logo that you don't even use all the time anymore, but you've got this circular patch. In fact, I think I'm going to take my hat off right now. Yes, I'm wearing one right now. The circular patch that you put either different cities or towns on or golf courses. What's the name of that hat? People always ask me, what's that Travis Matthew hat with the circle patch? Is there like one name for all of them?
Well, you have both Beantown and Wicked. Beantown is the snapback, and the fitted hat version is called Wicked. Those are from our Boston Capsule collection, which has been doing really, really well, even during this time. That product's hot. It's selling down quickly. We're almost out of it. So if you like that stuff, hop on it early.
All right. So, again, the polos are kind of what you guys were known for, that and the hats, just because it's a cool look. They're great to play golf in, but they're great to, you know, wear out to you can wear them to dinner. You know, you can wear them to the office and then head right to the golf course, which is a nice thing because you don't look like you are just tapping your foot waiting to skip out of work to go play golf. You can actually get away with wearing this stuff multiple places and not look like you're about to play hooky.
Yeah, the versatility of our brand is fantastic. And to your point earlier about the logo, we're not super in your face with the logo. So you don't have to look like a golfer. And I think sometimes that you don't want to go out to dinner and be the guy that just looks like a golfer all the time.
Right, right. You know, the loud colors and the, you know, the and the material on the shirts, it looks like you're, you know, it looks like you just stepped off a golf course and you're trying to get away from that. All right. So Steve Shaw, he's with Travis Matthew. You guys, I mentioned earlier, are doing like jeans now. You're doing like this stuff. And again, I've been wearing this on the golf course. You have players out there on tour wearing this stuff, because to me, that's where you get a little bit of a departure. I wouldn't wear like the indigo colored like jeans out on the course, but I have other pants that are made from the same material. I've worn them on the course. They're borderline jeans, but like, what the hell? They're a little stretchy. They feel good. They're lightweight. Are these sanctioned by, you know, like the real stuffy places? Can you wear these to like nice golf courses? Can guys wear these on tour and get away with it?
Not the denim, but we do have a pant that's a more of a lifestyle five pocket front pant that has that similar look, but it's a more of a cotton based on denim material, and you can kind of get that same look with a great feel and not look, you know, like you're wearing super skinny pants.
which is good for men of advancing years. All right. Are you guys doing shoes now, too? I know you are, because you gave me some crap back at the expo, I think, for not wearing Travis Matthew shoes. I'm like, I didn't even know I could get Travis Matthew shoes.
Yeah, so we have a brand called Quater under the Travis Matthew umbrella, so it's Quater by Travis Matthew. In previous years, we've only done lifestyle shoes, but we've made our foray into a golf shoe this year, and it's the early reception on it's been fantastic. We blew through our projections late fall, and now we're just absolutely killing it with it. So there's some really great options. I encourage people to go visit the website, quater.com, and then buy them locally, because a lot of shops are carrying them this year.
Yeah, and getting back to that as we wrap up here, Steve, it does make a difference, you know, and whether it's, you know, just getting, you know, a dozen balls, or you're buying gloves or something, and we've all gotten into this habit of buying online because it's so easy. But, you know, supporting the local shops, and even if it's the pro shop, you know, at your course, you mentioned it earlier, a lot of head pros own the shop. You know, that's
sure.
You know, they're not, you know, becoming millionaires by being head professionals at golf courses. You know, they do a lot of it as a retail owner of that shop. And if you can support those guys by picking up what maybe you've gotten accustomed to buying online, it would really help out your, you know, your local head pro, your neighbor, your buddies. It seems like a small thing, but it does make a difference.
Yeah, and I can get this stuff for dirt cheap or nothing when it comes to gloves and balls. But I go to my local Muni now. I live in Lynn. There's a great Muni golf course here, Gannon. That's where I'm buying my gloves and balls this year.
Yeah, good. Also, I've seen a couple of these pop up in my emails. Manufacturers are doing their demo days and their fitting days. They're starting to schedule these now, right?
Yeah, it's a little different procedure this year. In previous years, you could just show up and go hit the stuff. This year, everything has to be done by appointment, and it's a key difference between demo day and fitting day. These are you know, if you want to get new golf clubs this year, schedule a fitting day at your local course. They're popping up all over the place. This is the season where they really start. And go see your local shop and get fit and get the right equipment. I know we've talked about fitting in the past, and it's really, really important.
All right, Steve. Well, we have talked about that, but what I think this marks today is you have now become like an ambassador for the game. You know, this is a real departure for you. You're not just out there slanging the polos anymore. Now you've become a spokesperson for the game and for retailers everywhere. Is there some kind of a title that we should use for you now?
No, I just like slanging polos. I'll keep it at that.
No, there's probably guys who know you right now. It's like, he doesn't speak for us. I know this guy. And while I appreciate him trying to drum up business, good grief. Who elected Steve president of anything? No, it was good. Hey, good to talk to you, as always.
Yep.
Let's get out and play, and let's all go buy some stuff at our local shops and pro shops and stuff like that. All right, Steve. Steve Schau, Travis Matthew. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Step aside. We'll come back and wrap up the Sports Hub Golf Club and get ready for the much-anticipated Hey, It's Hardy show coming up at 9 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Constantly hitting it from the rough. This is the show for you. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here on the Sports Hub Golf Club, where today we'll be watching round three of the Charles Schwab Challenge, Harold Varner III. I'm going to text from a buddy of mine who heard what I said earlier today on the show about Harold Varner III. If you don't watch golf, you would think, oh, wow, what a prototypical silver spoon name for a golfer. And Harold Varner is anything but. He is one of only three or four black players on tour right now, and grew up playing a lot of Muni golf, you know, got in one of these Muni golf programs, like, you know, for, hey, $15 for the week, you can go hit as many balls as you want and, you know, play rounds at this public course and learn the game that way. And just a super nice guy, just a good guy, and always gives honest answers, wears his heart on his sleeve, but also very, very easygoing. He is a guy to root for. I don't know that I can say the same yet for Bryson DeChambeau, who is, and I'm not going to goof on Bryson DeChambeau's bulked up nature. Look, I mean, the guy has spent his time working out here during this COVID shutdown. Good grief. Oh, man, this guy. But he's one stroke off the lead right now. He and Jordan Spieth are in a tie for second after two rounds at the Charles Schwab Challenge. But DeChambeau is a guy that I still have trouble watching when it comes to his mind-numbing plotting of his round. You know, super analytical. What with the wind direction and the grain of the grass and the slow, and sometimes you just got to hit the ball. Now, it's tough to argue with, you know, his success, and he has come up with a way of swinging the golf club that is unorthodox. He uses the same length irons, which, again, unorthodox. He is what looks to be a kind of a stiff swing, but man, he is big. If you look at side by side pictures of Bryson DeChambeau, what he looks like now and what he looked like last year, I'll put it this way: DeChambeau himself figures he's nearly 40 pounds heavier than when he left college and has gone up two sizes in his apparel. I mean, he is beefed up. Yeah, he is just He said he's 235 to 240 pounds right now. What? He's a monster. He is, but he is just smacking the hell out of the ball off the tee. He is going after his drives. I mean, he has got this big move forward, and he is swinging those hips into it. And it's borderline sexual watching him swing the driver right now. Man, is he going after that thing. And again, tough for me to root for him just because I like guys who tend to play quickly and tend to play with a little more natural feel to their game. And there's not a lot natural going on with Bryson DeChambeau in his game or the way he's bulked up. And is it me or is it just a tiny bit unsettling to see somebody transform like that? But it's something different. And for that reason alone, I'll root for it, right? It's not another carbon copy swing. And these guys who all came up with, you know, something off of the, the Butch Harmon swing coach tree, right? It's not a little bit different. It's a lot different. So we'll have that to watch this weekend, too. One thing we won't be able to watch is Tiger Woods anytime soon. He's not going to play at the PGA Tour stop at Hilton Head. So he did not commit to it. He's going to take a pass on the first two events. So obviously he's not playing this week. He's not going to play next week. There's going to be a lot of big names that we will be able to see there in Hilton Head. Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Sergio Garcia, but not with Tiger Woods. His back stiffness is kind of sprung up again, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's just trying to, you know, work his schedule right now with an eye on the majors this year, which have all, of course, either been canceled in the case of the British or rescheduled to different times. So we won't be seeing Tiger here, at least for the first couple weeks. A few more golf things to get to here, which we'll do on the other side. We'll take care of the headlines here, and we'll get into the Hey, It's Hardy show coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.